Welcome to Nutmeg Chatter, I'm J. Timothy Quirk. Tom Wilson is the owner and founder of Throwy Games, a company that produces role-playing games and supplements, focusing on thinking and analytic understanding. They are bringing your brain back to the game. Wilson is a prolific freelance writer, author, and has created the popular Off the Beaten Path series and Back to Basics with an X fanzine, a quarterly dedicated to the simpler time of role-playing games, covering the basic and expert editions of Dungeons & Dragons. Wilson brings ShireCon, a convention that brings gamers, both role-playing games and board games, together on September 22nd in Falls Village, Connecticut. We'll talk to Wilson about his writing, his interest in gaming, and so much more here on Nutmeg Chatter. Welcome to Nutmeg Chatter, Tom Wilson.
Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to speak to you today. It's exciting to talk to you about this culture, this phenomenon of role-playing games. You are clearly an expert in that field. When did you first start the role-playing game adventure, if you will? When did you start rolling that dice?
Well, it was about 1982, and I was in eighth grade in elementary school, and I was introduced to it, and before long, I played it pretty much every single day with friends.
Did you realize at that time that this would be something that would carry on throughout your life and become such a pivotal part of it, writing and the creation of stories, which is very important for me as someone who celebrates stories?
Well, I think I always hoped it would be something more than just getting around a table and playing. And although I've had opportunities in the past, they really didn't manifest until the last 5 years when, you know, my children are now grown and my job has gotten to the point where it's less demanding. So, yeah, it definitely had some opportunities, but they really grew in the last 5 years.
Now, we're going to just try to define our terms so that way we can carry on with the rest of the discussion. When we talk about role-playing games, how would you define that? I mean, I feel like the key component of that is the role-playing part of that. Tell me, how would you describe it?
Yeah, role-playing games are games that you generally play in person, although there are other ways to play it now. But games you play in person around a table with friends and family, where you take on the persona of a different person, a character, if you will. Somebody who is perhaps a hero or a spellcaster or a thief. And you play this character through adventures that are pushed at you from what's called a dungeon master or a game master. And they sort of tell the story and weave the mystery into it, and you, as that character, try to solve the puzzles and the problems and hopefully end up meeting the end of the adventure successfully. Not everyone lives, but most time that's usually not the most important part. It's the story, it's playing the character and enjoying it.
Wow, and you know what, with the role-playing game aspect of it, that involves a lot of the mind and the imagination, and it would seem in far greater capacity than, say, some, I guess perhaps, video games that focus more on the dexterity of the thumbs than the intellect and the problem-solving aspect. Would that be a fair assessment to make?
That is a fair assessment. I think some of the early founders of role-playing games, long before video games, really set the standard and the design for video games. Gary Gygax, the founder of Dungeons & Dragons back in the 1970s, pretty much is celebrated as setting the benchmark for what video games should be, without even knowing what video games were going to exist.
That makes sense. You're right. I mean, and to a certain degree, there's like a choose-your-own-adventure component to it. But with the role-playing game, it's the game master themselves who's kind of this guide and also giving the the description, to allow the imagination to flourish in the minds of those who are playing the game. So the game master is that integral part of it. And I think somebody's experience of that type of game rests in large part on the ability of that game master to effectively communicate.
The game master can really determine whether you like a game or not based on how they weave the story and play the game. Most of those early designers of games believe that the rules were guidelines and an afterthought, and that role-playing and gaming in general was more about the story and enjoying your time and having fun. So game masters can definitely make or break a game, but good game masters know how to get people through the story, yet let them have the flexibility and diversity of what they want to do.
Because you are such a prolific writer and author of the scenarios and the stories, that the adventures that people can go on, clearly you have the capacity of being the master game master. I don't know if there's a particular terminology for it or whether I just coined it, but the idea of being an expert game master, is it fair to say, I'm guessing, that you do play that role as the game master, is that right?
Well, because I tend to write a lot of stories, which includes all the background and all the secret information that might be found along the way, I tend to be the game master in most games. That said, I do enjoy playing when somebody else is the game master because it's very infrequent. So I do prefer the game master role, however, because I'm generally trying to tell a story that I've written, whether it's recently or even an old one I've dusted off.
When could you tell me of a time where you were the game master and you reached that point where you realized, I'm telling a story that is really effective? I assume that when you start, when you start playing a game, or when you are first the game master, hopefully you've had some experience seeing other people do it and then trying to learn from it, but you're still learning that role. Could you tell me of a time where you hit that point where, yes, I'm definitely doing what I set out to do?
Well, there are definitely two points in my game mastering career, I'll say, that I knew that I could do it. And one was I only knew the game in 1982 for a week before I was thrust into the role to do it. And it came naturally. I enjoyed it. I preferred it to playing, actually. And I knew at that point, this is what I want to do with role-playing games. I want to be the game master. However, I do enjoy playing and will play as often as I can, but I generally like to be the game master. The other moment in time, and I can't pinpoint the exact time, is the time in which I was thrust into the role of being a game master with zero preparation. I did not know how we were going to be gaming that day. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how many people were going to be at the table, and I didn't even know what we were going to be playing. I was asked to just step in and do it, and being able to wing it with absolutely no preparation and making sure that people enjoy the game, that's when you know you've taken that skill to a different level.
In terms of setting the table, so to speak, let's set the table in terms of people's imagination as to what is the role-playing game experience. Now, there is a game master. They have kind of the rules, like a plot to follow, mm-hmm. if you will, but that's hidden from the view of other people, correct?
Yeah, the rules may be known by all players, but the story is not necessarily known. However, if you're playing an ongoing story, because one of the beauty of role-playing games is that this same story can continue for months and months and years, in fact, so you're just weaving certain plot points in different aspects of the main storyline, perhaps. But knowing the story and all of the intricate details behind the scenes is only known by the game master.
And within that, then there would be, so there's the game master, and the game master, would they have a set of dice, presumably?
Usually in modern times, most all players and the game master all have a set of dice. Back in the beginnings of Dungeons & Dragons, only the game master rolled dice, okay, and the players never got to roll dice. But that changed in the late 70s, early 80s. But now everybody usually brings their character sheet, which is what dictates the information about their persona or their character. Usually have their own dice, and the game master has a dice, usually hidden behind a screen where all his secret notes and stuff will be.
And so, yeah, behind the so they have the screen. That's what I was trying to get at in terms of it's hidden from view from other people. So the other people won't know what's coming the way that in real life, so if it were happening to them in life, they wouldn't necessarily know what's coming. But and then they have their ability to roll, and that kind of takes the idea of chance in a particular encounter. The higher the number, the die, the greater success. Would that be a fair?
Depending on the system, sure. There's many hundreds of different role-playing game systems, but traditionally, high rolls tend to be favored. But there are some times when a lower roll is favored, depending on the system.
Guess what? We're already at our first break. When we come back, I'd like to talk this specifically about off the beaten path and some of the role-playing adventures that you create. What are your inspirations for those types of stories? So we'll be back in just a few moments with Tom Wilson here on Nutmeg Chatter. Welcome back to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. Here in studio is Tom Wilson. Tom Wilson is the owner and founder of Throwy Games, which is a company that produces role-playing games and supplements. And one of those supplements, one of the things that we're going to talk about now in this segment is Off the Beaten Path. I'm right now looking at this incredibly it's well-made, well-crafted Forest Excursions Edition. It is a book created by Tom Wilson with some art created by some artists whom you work with. And in it, it's chock full of all these stories. Tell me, first of all, how many stories are there? How many adventures are there in this particular book?
Well, in this series, this is the Forest Excursion, which is the first of the excursion books. It has, I think, 24 adventures in it, and they're all of 1 to 2 pages in length.
And in terms of the adventures themselves, these are the type of adventures, you say, off the beaten path, so it's a series, because there's the forest series, there's the desert series, etc. In terms of, these are the type of adventures that could happen if somebody veers slightly off the beaten path during a particular story.
That's absolutely correct. That's what it's meant to do, is to gap fill something that's unexpected. As a game master, you try your best to plan the story, but we try not to do what's called railroading, which is you force them to go a certain way and only a certain way. So if you want the players and their characters to go right and they want to go left, a good game master lets them go left. But going left means I may not be prepared. So excursions are great because you can fill in some time until they figure out what they want to do next by giving them something short and something that's interesting.
That's fantastic. And there are many within this booklet and the multiple stories here, the multiple different ways that people could go. There's different, the art is phenomenal. There are many different maps that kind of show where somebody could go, where somebody could get stuck, like a sudden sinkhole, where the sinkholes are, and or waterfalls. It's really, really a fantastic idea. Can I ask you, and this is a difficult question, sometimes a banal question for some writers in terms of how do you get your ideas, but more along the lines of what inspires you to be so prolific in terms of the creation of ideas?
Well, I mean, I've been playing games and running games for over 30 years. So for me, many of these have come from excursions that I've actually run myself because I needed something. And most of those times, they've come out of thin air, just dreamt them up at the moment because the players did something I didn't expect. So over time, with notes and some other things, I jot down ideas and I try to go back to those ideas and write them when I have a free moment. Now, this series actually started as a Patreon, which I gave subscribers to the Patreon one or two adventures every month for a low fee. And then when I was done writing all 100 or so, I decided I was going to release them in 20 to 25 adventure chunks in areas, forests, deserts, mountains, cities, and what have you. So they're all now being produced in a booklet for by sort of the environment.
Fantastic. Yeah, it's a very clean looking edition, kind of in magazine type style. It's very professional looking. Really, it's a phenomenal piece here. The artwork, could you just tell me just a little bit about who does the artwork, just so we can give that person a shout out?
Sure. That's Travis Hansen out of California. He is a well-known comic book artist, but is sort of known as a workhorse of the industry. He never refuses work. He does everything. And he and I have agreed that he's going to do all the covers. So there'll be four or five books, and he's going to do every cover. He's done two so far. And he's actually right now working on the mountain one for, I think we're going to hopefully get it out in November.
Wow. Now, for a gamer and for you in the creation of all these different stories, there's not just the idea of creating the story and allowing the individuals to fill in. You are also an author yourself. You have been, you write freelance for other parties, and you're also writing for yourself. Can you tell me about that aspect of writing process and how it differs from the creation, if it differs at all, from the creation of the different stories?
So when I write for myself, I'm usually trying to solve a need. Either it's something that I've run as a campaign that I felt was good enough to publish, or I am trying to solve a thing like excursions, where I have these a need for little bits of stories. When I'm writing freelance, however, I generally am asked to write a story that's already been somewhat fleshed out, or a plot, or a basic sort of a synopsis. One time I wrote a story based on a cover, an illustration. I was given only the illustration and said, write something for this, and I need it in 2 weeks. So I did that. So sometimes I'm given a story, or I'm given something that I have to work within. Very rarely, as a freelancer, do I get the luxury of being able to handcraft something of my own work.
That's phenomenal. I just want to bring up now, I had teased at the very beginning that there was a ShireCon, which is happening on September 22nd. Some people may hear this interview after that already airs, but for those who may hear it before that particular convention, could you just describe to me what the ShireCon convention is all about?
Yeah, ShireCon is a local New England, in our case, northwest corner of Connecticut, convention for role-playing game and board games for people who want to get together and just play. Yeah. There's going to be 16 pre-registered games, and there's going to be open tables for people to bring their own games and just play whatever they want to play for the entire day. It's really just a way for like-minded hobbyists to get together and to play a game for a whole day.
Wow, and that's fantastic. And that will be in Falls Village. Where is it going to take place?
It's going to be at the Falls Village Children's Theater, which is right on Main Street of Falls Village.
That's fantastic. That's right. And that begins, the doors open, I believe, at 8, but it officially begins around 9. Is that right?
That is correct. We have two game slots from 9 to 1 and 2 to 6, where we have set up games in advance. But people can come and play at the open tables at any time they want. But we open doors at 8. First slot opens at 9.
That's fantastic. All right. So we'll probably bring that up in the last segment as well, just so people know that you can gain a little bit more insight into it. And hopefully if they hear it before and if they have interest, they can find out more information about it as
sure.
Well. But in terms of the fanzine itself, Back to Basics, that's Back, B-A-C-K, to D-O, and then Basics, B-A-S-I-X. And that is, you had mentioned as well, BX is a very important term. Could you just describe that to people?
Sure. In the late 70s and early 80s, a version of D&D came out called BX. It's known as Basic and Expert, which was edited by Mr. Tom Moldvay with Gary Gygax's rules. And the BX is a separate edition, a style of play that still has a lot of fans. And I wanted to create a fanzine that really celebrated just that genre, because there have been many editions of D&D and other games. This is just one of them, and I wanted to just focus solely on that particular system.
And this, what's great about this as well is that you interview legends within the role-playing game world.
That is correct.
So in this particular one that I'm holding on, there's Mike Carr. Could you tell us a little bit about Mike Carr?
Sure. Mike Carr was an author in one of the earliest adventures written by TSR, which is the company that produced D&D. And he wrote what's called In Search of the Unknown, which was a very famous adventure for BX. And it's actually one of a certain style that is very unique even amongst games today. So he was great to talk to. And his work is phenomenal.
Fantastic. Guess what? We're already at our second break. So we're going to take just a quick break. When we come back, we're going to have our third and final segment. We're going to talk a little bit more about the role-playing game genre as a whole, the different options and opportunities that people have within that realm and sphere, and talk a little bit about throwaway games as well. So we're going to do that and so much more. We'll come back with Tom Wilson here on Nutmeg Chatter. Welcome back to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. Here in studio at WEPJ, Torrington Community Radio, is Tom Wilson. He's the owner and founder of Throwee Games. And I've mentioned that a couple of times, especially the phrase, bringing your brain back to the game. So let's actually start our third segment with Throwee Games. When did you start that particular organization and why?
Well, Throwee Games was started in 2010 as a company for me to produce two types of games, role-playing games in print and a video game, actually, that I had been writing for many years. Now, the video game has been put on hold because of the success of the print and RPG side. So mm-hmm. I do still intend on producing one or more video games, but not until I've finished my run of what I wanted to produce in the print side.
Right. It seems like the print side is phenomenal. I mean, if somebody were looking for this material, this is it. This is where you would go. So, I mean, I can see why you would want to put your, you know, all your focus into it, because that focus and dedication shows to it. From your perspective as somebody within that genre, obviously there's Dungeons & Dragons. That's kind of the gateway into this world for many people. But are there other games that have either reached that level or exceeded it? Or can you tell me about some of the other options, other games?
Yeah. Dungeons & Dragons is pretty much one of the first role-playing games by Gary Gygax in the 70s. There have been many imitations. There have been many good games that have come out that are different enough where they're interesting for a lot of people to play. D&D has recently gone through a renaissance. Wizards of the Coast has produced the 5th edition several years ago, and it has a strong following. And it even says that it has greater sales now than it did even in the 80s, which is amazing. Other games have been produced, but they all tend to fall into the same genre. It's fantasy, rolling dice, leveling up, getting more powerful, and enjoying the story.
Okay, so they're all... They are within that same type of genre. I seem to remember at the time in the 80s, there were different role-playing games that were like of the superhero genre. I think they came up with one. I think there was a James Bond one as well. So, and then there were a couple of spy things, but those didn't last as long as the enduring fantasy genre. Would that be a fair critique or assessment, or no?
I think that's true. I mean, people have a fond memory of some of that early pulp fiction stuff like Conan and mm-hmm. some of the things that just sort of drive that fantasy feel. There have been some great games outside of fantasy. Traveller is a great science fiction game. Middle Earth with Tolkien's role-playing game is phenomenal. You referenced James Bond. Probably a better spy game would be Top Secret, which was by Merle Rasmussen from TSR as well back in the 80s. You have Marvel superheroes and DC superheroes, et cetera, et cetera. There's pretty much a genre for every taste. But I think most people sort of fall back into fantasy over time because it is the traditional foundation of role-playing.
That makes total sense to me. In terms of the Throwee Games and the focus of Off the Beaten Path, and back to basics. Is there anything else about the off the not off the beaten path, off throw E games that we want to talk about here in terms of their creations?
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I've always wanted to do is create my own game system. We just talked about how there's so many of them, right? But I always wanted to create my own, and because I've always wanted to try something slightly different. Now, at the end of the day, it's unlikely that you'll come up with your own brand new, unique, never before seen role-playing game. It's all been done, but variations in different styles are interesting. So I created a game called SRS, which is Simple Role-Playing System, which is interesting and was fun to make. But right now I'm working on a game called Desolantia, which is a post-apocalyptic fantasy setting and rule system that uses a set of dice that's not commonly used. And it is a different system. I'm not going to say it's unique because that's impossible to say, but it's different enough where it warrants its own release. So in 2019, I will be releasing a box set that will have 4 to 8 books in it. And I'll be using Kickstarter as the way to get that out to the public.
Oh, fantastic. You are invited to come back in 2019. We can talk about it before it releases. So,
excellent.
You're certainly welcome back. In fact, Tom, if you'd be so kind, if people want to find out more about Throwy Games, if they want to find out more about ShireCon, where can they go?
Well, a good starting point is the Throwy Games website, so throwygames.com. That'll get you an entry point into the work that I've done. And there's a ShireCon link right at the top of the page. It'll take you to the ShireCon tabletop event page for registration and some other stuff. I also just put the ShireCon program as a PDF on my website, so you can actually see in advance the table layout and what's going to be there and the vendors and such. I also release most of my work on RPG Now, which is the primary digital release mechanism for RPGs today. They're the biggest player in that space.
And when we're saying Throw E Games, that's with an I for the E sound. So it's Throw, THROW, and then I.
Correct.
Games, GAMES, .com. So that's Throw E Games, .com. Tom Wilson, I want to thank you for coming in to talking to us about your work, talking to us about ShireCon, and as I said, I'd love to talk to you in 2019 when we talk more about
Desolantia.
Desolantia. We're going to talk about Desolantia in 2019. Thank you for coming and talking with us today on Nutmeg Chatter.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
Nutmeg Chatter is a production of WAPJ, Torrington Community Radio. Some of the music has been provided by the Jingle Punks, courtesy of YouTube Royalty Free Music, so we thank them for that. Nutmeg Junction can be found on the internet at nutmegjunction.com and on Facebook at Facebook/Nutmeg Junction. You may contact us through there or through nutmegjunction@gmail.com with any comments, questions that you may have, or you may contact us through this station. Please stay tuned to this station for more information, entertainment, music, and more. We hope you enjoyed the chat.